Welcome to IIB Canada's Diversity, Equality, and Inclusion podcast. This four-part series is powered by Triton Digital's Omni Studio, and we thank them for being part of this experience with us. Hello, welcome, listeners. For those of you who are not as familiar with IIB here in Canada, though there are a multitude of ways for members to get involved in what we are doing to help steer the digital industry forward, one of those channels is through our councils, committees, and working groups. And these groups really focus on a myriad of different topics that may range in interest from and importance from policy into advanced TV, standardization to online gaming. And over the past 2 years, as diversity, equality, and inclusion became front and center for all businesses, IIB Canada reacted and created our own DEI working group. It's been through this group that a diversity, equality, and inclusion charter was established and adopted by our industry. Pertinent research was ingested into our ongoing webinar series, and important, rather thought-provoking discussions were had within this working group. Often, these meetings left us with more questions than answers, and in the spirit of being inclusive, we wanted to open up these discussions to a broader audience, which really brought about the creation of a podcast series. Our goal of testing out a four-part series is to host an open and honest discussion around the topics that are near and dear to our digital hearts, ranging in interests from targeting to algorithmic biases, culture, language, and creative, so that we may come together to help create solutions versus work in silos. Candidly, listeners, this may mean getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. It may mean recognizing and admitting our own biases while we openly listen to others as they share their unique lived experiences. But we hope you stick with us. We hope you listen. We hope you learn. We hope you think about the ways in which you can be a change maker within your own business. And we thank you for being as interested in this conversation as we are. On today's episode, Why Creative and Language Matters, we are digging into the meaning of cultural relevance and its connection to value-based creative, while questioning how much of the multicultural opportunity we're giving away here in Canada. Joining us is Joycelyn David, owner at AV Communications, along with Jagdeep Man, owner at Sunflower Media. We hope you enjoy this segment.
Good morning, or good afternoon, Jocelyn.
Hi, good morning to you, Jagdeep. How's it going out there in beautiful Vancouver?
Today we are having, I guess we're in the eye of the cyclone bomb. We've been having a lot of rain here recently, and today it's kind of clear and sunny.
And here in Toronto, we're getting wind of La Nina and a crazy winter. So supposedly coming our way, but that's the beauty of life in Canada. It's a pleasure to be with you here today.
Yeah, so
we're here to talk all about multicultural marketing, and specifically why multicultural creative and language matters. And I think it might be a good place to start maybe just talking a little bit about our backgrounds and how we got into multicultural and kind of why we individually decided this is something we want to run businesses on. I think our viewers might appreciate some of that origin story, but do you want to kick it off, Jagdeep?
Sure, yeah, I'll try to keep it brief. My background actually is in journalism. I actually was a partner here in Vancouver in a series of multicultural newspaper startups the previous decade, from like 2000 to 2010, 2011-ish. Those publications covered the three largest ethnic communities in Canada: Chinese, South Asian, and Filipino. We ran weekly publications for those markets, and I was straddling the editorial and the sales side of the business as a partner or as a founder. To be honest, I was straddling all corners of the business, not just those two halves or two portions. After I moved on from that series of startups, I decided to kind of continue down this road of working in the multicultural advertising space and launched Sunflower Media. And here we are, almost a decade later.
Wow, amazing journey. So my background's a little different. I worked on the client side, Jagdish, as a multicultural marketer for some big brands, and I ran those businesses on the client side for over a decade. But when I turned 40, you know, had an opportunity to take over AV Communications and talked to my husband and my son and said, listen, we're going to move across the country to take up this mission of, you know, increasing awareness of diversity in Canada, one campaign at a time. Are you guys in? Will you move across the country from Edmonton to Toronto? And they said emphatically, yes, let's do it. And so that's, you know, what my day to day is. And I think for us working in multicultural, it's a small space in the Canadian marketplace. But I feel just in the last 3 years that I've been running the agency, there's been a real uptick of interest in becoming more aware of how to be more inclusive in your marketing and how to staff and represent, you know, the diversity of your customers as well in everything that you do. And I think that's why we're here today to talk all about why this matters, right, for brands across the country.
It's an uptick as well. I agree wholeheartedly. There's I mean, the journey for, I guess the roots of this journey probably start back in the late 90s, if not early 2000s, where, like, you know, there was this sort of discussion which was inevitable just because of the the critical mass of diversity in this country, with, you know, immigrants coming every single year. At that time, I think around 300,000 were arriving each year. Now it's up to 400,000. You know, that's a significant number of people compounded over many years, and to the point where you cannot overlook that population base. I mean, clearly, if you're in Toronto or Vancouver these days, you are living in a very cosmopolitan metropolitan region. And, you know, so if you are running a business, whether you're running a mom and pop shop or whether you're running a multinational or executive in a multinational company, it is literally right in front of you. Like, this is your audience. They are very diverse and they're speaking a number of different languages. And if we're going to grow our brand awareness, if we're going to grow our consumption base, like, you know, we need to actually consume or talk to these people from different backgrounds and different communities. And so therefore, here we are, my journey is almost two decades on. But we are, as you kind of mentioned, the last 3 years, seeing an uptick in the efforts of agencies and clients to become more inclusive and reach out more to these diverse communities. And, you know, they need to do so because that's really where their growth markets are.
You said it, and I like to tell our clients, you know, talk to customers in the language of their comfort, you know, and it's not always English and French, you know. Language of comfort could be, you know, Pig Latin for some, might be, you know, French for others. I know for me, it was English, you know, but growing up in a Filipino household in Edmonton, Alberta, you know, I was often the only Filipino in my class or in the boardroom. And today it's much different, where the diversity is just off the charts now in some of the secondary markets across Canada. So the fact that brands have an opportunity to connect authentically through someone's culture, which is often through language, to me, it's a no-brainer, Jagdish. Like, why they're not doing it, I think, is probably why you and I exist in terms of agencies, right? We're helping open the eyes of why this matters. And I think the first question, you know, that we ponder, I think, today is, why does a culturally relevant approach matter? You know, isn't it enough to just, you know, show an ethnic diverse talent? Is that enough? You know, and I feel like this is a debate that sometimes goes on with our clients. Is there anything you'd like to add on that? Why does culturally relevant creative matter today in 2021?
Well, I think this is a sort of, I look at this as part of the bigger inclusion issue. I know we're talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion today, but multicultural marketing has always struggled historically, and I say that historically, going back two or three decades, to be included in ad buys, to be included in ad spends, partly because, I guess, at one point there was a lack of visibility of newer immigrants in this country. You know, they were kind of more behind the scenes, not people you were necessarily running into maybe in more mainstream settings, but also on the parts of those who are making decisions in larger agencies and, you know, for working for larger clients, you know, they may not come from, or they typically did not come from, immigrant family backgrounds where they're necessarily aware of, you know, the extent of the diversity, the population diversity here in this country. So for the longest time, there was a struggle to be, first of all, included, to have a multicultural portion set aside in a typical ad campaign planned out a year in advance. And so that inclusion issue eventually kind of became, and like you mentioned, the last 3 or 4 years, like with the uptick of interest in multicultural, that seems to sort of be resolved, although we're still seeing probably disproportionately small ad spends being allocated to multicultural ad buys in comparison to like the larger English and French markets. But then the other issue now with inclusion is that you're still not seeing a recognition of how to include those communities in terms of how to include those ad campaigns within a greater ad spend. And an example I may give you is, you know, I have this sort of discussion with often here in Vancouver, where real estate is a very hot industry. Everyone buys and sells real estate. Everyone who has some capital buys and sells real estate. You know, with real estate clients, they typically will want to, by default, always advertise to an English market and also, yes, to a Chinese market, which is sort of, you know, that community has a perception of being very active in the real estate sector. However, there are other communities, obviously, who are just as active. But when it comes to, you know, clients, and I've had this discussion so many times, wanting to do a campaign, let's say for the Punjabi community or for the Persian community, they will, for whatever reason, they will only kind of confine their advertising to the geographic regions within which those communities live here in Vancouver. It's a little bit of a frustrating thing, because if you understand that, you know, this community, they're looking to invest and buy real estate, and they can certainly do so within any sector of the Lower Mainland. Yet the advertising that reaches them is only marketing developments in their particular region, that where you may see a larger population base. So again, now we have an inclusion element here, but the inclusion is still somewhat biased by this sort of strange perception that, you know, people from these communities will only want to buy developments in their own particular region. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is that, yes, we are kind of overcoming issues of inclusion, but there are still more struggles that have yet to be overcome. Maybe you've seen more examples in your world, or?
Oh yeah, definitely, Jagdish. Like culturally relevant, if I could just try to define it for our listeners, from my perspective, goes beyond language. It's looking at the passion points that, you know, like, what is culture, right? Culture is made up of lived experiences, one's background, one's ethnicity, language, religious beliefs, but it's not only those things, right? It's all of those things combined. So culturally relevant creative is more challenging, Jagdish, is what I always like to tell our clients. It requires that you have the right insight in which to fuel that connection to the customer. And no, you can't just take your English mass creative and slap it on ethnic media and call it a day. So culturally relevant multicultural marketing is inherently harder. It takes more time to understand the nuance. It takes more production time to produce, whether it's Punjabi or in Persian or in Tagalog, as you were talking about your real estate clients. And so, but that effort of putting in the understanding to what will connect with your audience at the core of who they are, the core of what their identity is, what their culture is, that is powerful. And that is more powerful than what I find most mainstream creatives are doing, which is appealing to, you know, USPs, right? Which are universal, yes, but I identify as a buyer first through the values that my family have instilled in me, which are inherent to my culture as a Filipina who grew up in Canada. So why wouldn't a brand tap into that knowledge to, you know, better connect with me and sell their product or service? And I feel culturally relevant takes more time, is harder to execute, but is a deeper connection with ultimately your target audience, which is why I think more and more uptick and interest is there. But there's also this question of, how do we do this right? You know, how do we make sure I'm not messing it up, right, Jagdish?
Absolutely, you're right. Like, I mean, that was sort of the third argument I was going to make about inclusion, which is the actual nature of the message. You know, how is your message being presented? Is it being presented, first of all, in language? I mean, there's the Google Translate version of presenting a message in language. And I've seen agencies and clients do this. You know, they will use Google Translate and they'll put their English, we'll run it through there, and they'll output this garble in the other language, in the mother tongue, and they'll slap it into an ad. And yeah, and they'll feel that, yeah, now we not only have we included you on the ad buy, we've also geo-targeted you to your particular corner of the city, but now we've also presented a message to you in your language, although it's garbled, and they, you know, nobody on this other side could actually read it. But so you're right, like how it's fantastic that there's an uptick of interest in multicultural. It's great that clients and agencies are recognizing and making an effort to reach out, which they are. But as you mentioned, like, if you're going to do this, if something's worth doing, it's worth doing well. And then you need to execute in a way where, yes, you can use Punjabi or Chinese or another language, but you have to also tap into the cultural nuances and the hashtags that are moving through those communities at the particular moment to capture some of that energy and have that community align with your brand. And it's also recognized that you are also reaching out to them. You know, and I've had this discussion, I can also provide examples on this, but I see where you're coming from. I understand what you're saying as well. And I feel like this is also kind of part of that whole inclusion issue that I brought forward earlier.
Yeah, and on inclusion, you mentioned earlier, Jagdish, about, you know, investments in multicultural not being, you know, maybe being an afterthought, you know, like, oh, let's just tack on multicultural buy at the end. And then, you know, we end up rushing, working with whatever timeline we have to try to, yes, get represented and we're included in the buy, but it's like, you know, a fraction of what the opportunity represents. So I always tell clients, if 20% or 25%, 1 in 4 of Canadians are visible minority, that is your multicultural audience there. Whether they're immigrant or second generation, they identify as visible minorities and have cultural aspects that you can hook into, whether it's language or culture or passion points. You know, like for example, there was a huge India versus Pakistan cricket match on the weekend. The entire communities were rallied watching that game. The brands that were activating during that cricket match, hats off to them, because they understood the passion point that sport brings to many cultures, not just one language, right, or one country. And I find the opportunity to do like what's working well with multicultural is when brands invest in passion points, but also invest that 20% or more of their dollars in multicultural all year round. Because you and I both know, Jagdish, that, you know, multicultural audiences are not just buying during Chinese New Year, they're not just buying during Diwali or whichever festival, pick a festival. Yes, they're important, but multicultural buyers are in market in Canada 24/7, 365 days of the year, and multicultural spend should be the same. 24/7, 365 days of the year, in my humble opinion.
You're preaching to the choir. I agree wholeheartedly that, you know, and I share that frustration. Like, I've watched that India cricket match, India-Pakistan cricket match, and I also saw some of the ads that were active during the breaks, and I was like, wow, this is a, you know, fantastic position for you guys to be in. Like, you know, hats off to the agency or to the clients that, you know, had the foresight to, you know, want to position themselves, you know, in between. In that match, I was certainly paying attention, but I couldn't help but notice that most of those ads that were active during that match were it seemed like to be businesses from South Asia, which are probably run by South Asians, not necessarily here active in Canada, but maybe those ads were also being placed from offshore. But yeah, I know, I totally can appreciate how important that is to be right there where your audience is and speaking to them with the nuances that, you know, they need to hear. Mm-hmm.
And actually, what you just said is indicative of what will happen if Canadian brands don't wake up and media don't wake up. Like, you know, media and brands from outside of Canada are seeing the opportunity in Canada why can't Canadian brands see that opportunity that's right in front of them? And so this is the, for me, the discussion I love having with, you know, brands or clients who are like, I'm not sure if I need to invest in multicultural right now. It's new to me. I need to build a business case for it. Sometimes all I need to do is just point at, look at that big brand that is actually, you know, investing in this community. They must know something you don't. And I don't know if that has worked for you, Jagdish, in terms of, you know, convincing clients to invest, but I would love to hear your thoughts on, you know, where do you think we can go from here, knowing that, you know, there's interest from brands outside of Canada, that more and more brands are wanting to get into multicultural. What is the way forward, you know, for clients wanting to become more culturally relevant and do it right, and obviously, you know, increase their awareness of diversity and inclusion in their marketing?
You may have sort of experienced the same things that I have experienced in terms of, like, when I get a very small fractional budget, but I'm expected to deliver very large results, or, like, you know, proportional results to what the English buy is generating. Like, it's quite frustrating because we're kind of supposed to do more with less, it's not really that possible, you know, given the budget constraints. And so, first of all, just getting that portion allocated is hard enough, but now then we have to also outperform people who, you know, the mainstream agency in terms of our performance with what we're given. And that's, you know, that's quite frustrating. And that's it's becoming even more difficult, I'm finding, particularly in the, as we kind of advance or become more invested in digital advertising. A lot of our clients, you know, want to go digital first. They want to almost sometimes predominantly just only be digital. And, you know, so we're constantly now weighing CPLs, or, you know, cost per leads and cost per acquisitions and cost per clicks, and expected to, you know, to meet the same sort of standards with smaller population target bases. So that's, first of all, a little bit frustrating. But then, you know, it becomes very difficult to also convince the client that, you know, yes, you're introducing your brand or your service to a newer audience. They're not necessarily aware of you. They've never heard of you because they're relatively new to the country. You need to spend a little bit on awareness before you start diving into the bottom of your funnel and talking about conversions. Like, first, the client needs to actually, or the consumer needs to be aware of who you are and what the context of your messaging is before they actually do the buy-in. And then also, if you can, and I know you cannot measure this quantitatively through your digital trading desk or what have you, there is a large upside to each acquisition. You know, you may be talking to one individual who's bought your product or service, but that individual is also tapped into a very large community of people who are closer together, more intertwined, because they are also, you know, the word of mouth is stronger, I find, in diverse communities. You know, if one family member has experienced, like, had a great experience with a product, they're very likely to tell another family member about how great the product experience is. And so you cannot use the same CPA measurements that you brought in your baselines from your mainstream advertising campaign and tell me, yes, you must meet these targets, otherwise we're not going to invest. I think that's very myopic. And I've had that discussion and I've countered those points, but because of the chains of command in large companies, and because each individual, of course, is answerable to one person above them who has less and less information about what is actually going on, it's very difficult to penetrate and make a convincing case.
Yeah, I agree. I think some of the advice that I've, you know, given to clients in the past to counter that, you know, KPI discussion is to look at the one KPI that most brands forget about, which is the lifetime value of a customer. And you were kind of inferring from that, you know, you're not just selling to one Filipina in the household, you're selling to the whole family and my extended family. And I'm sure your extended family who you're like, and the word of mouth, the brand loyalty, you know, all the things that maybe Jagdish, you and I know, multicultural audiences index higher on brand loyalty. They index higher on disposable income and household income because of multi-generational households. And as a result, you're not marketing to one person, you're marketing to six buyers in a potential household. So the lifetime value of a customer is actually much more. And those are the things that, unless a brand is really looking at that in the long term, they will only be short-sighted looking at, you know, campaign metrics. And I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying.
That lifetime value, in fact, can be multi-generational. Yeah. I am still to this day in the CPG space, I am still buying brands that my mother bought. I'm still buying the same basmati rice brands. I'm still buying the same tea brands. I'm bringing the same brands into my home. And my kids are being exposed to those brands that my mother bought because somebody had enough foresight to advertise to that her back in the, you know, the 70s and 80s. Like, so what is the lifetime value of that? It's immense.
It's amazing. Yeah. And I know, you know, with every, you know, media buy that our clients do, you know, what they can do tomorrow is pay more attention to the creative performance, I would say, in tandem with the media performance, because I know you have a media background, but you were also a journalist, right, Jagdish? And so you and I both know the story, if it doesn't connect, it doesn't land. If the creative doesn't connect with relevance, with language, with tone, with art direction, it'll just land flat and it's a wasted impression on the media buy. And so I find less and less with AI driven, just adapt and cut and paste, you know, mentality to cut paste and just go for the interest of time and efficiency, we're losing the ability to tell better stories through powerful creative. And I find the brands who are stepping up to that now are the brands that are going to be remembered by you, your generation, my generation, and our kids for touching their heart, not just going after their wallet, you know? And I feel like the narrative I would love to see shift towards, you know what, let's talk about good creative and good storytelling as opposed to cheap impressions and, you know, metrics that just keep, it's a race to the bottom, you know, in terms of KPIs. I don't know if, that's my perspective only because I was 25 years old, Jagdish, living in Canada before I ever saw myself reflected in an ad in Canada. Hmm. Could you imagine that? I was 25 years old, grew up in Canada, had never seen a Filipino in an ad ever.
I know how you feel. I know how
and you I feel. Was 25 and I do not want that for the next generation of Canadians. I want them to see themselves reflected.
Now kind of touching upon the diversity issue. Is that, you know, like you, I never saw people from a South Asian background then represented in advertising either. In fact, when I finally did see those South Asian representation in mainstream ads, it was always the stereotypical Bhangra dancer or the person wearing the Bhangra or Bhangra outfits. And, you know, they would be, and I for about a 5 to 10 year spell, I swear there was some person somewhere out there cutting and pasting the same image of these 5 Bhangra dancers and moving it from a telecom ad to a banking ad to a car ad to a CPG ad. I was like, who is this person? How do they keep moving the same image? And why do they keep expecting me to buy their brand? Because I
yeah. keep looking at it, and that's an example of what not to do, right? Like, because it was an effort, but it was executed with the wrong cultural relevance and insight that you know, multicultural audiences are diverse, may have been born in Canada, may have not been born in Canada, but I always tell my clients, you know, multicultural audiences are not homogenous, okay? Just like Canadians are not homogenous, guess what? The Chinese community, not homogenous either. They're very unique, depending on their language and their tenure and their socioeconomic status. With any target market, it's the same thing. So don't use a Bhangra image to represent an entire community, to your point, Jagdish. I wonder if that stock photo is still floating around out there, but definitely, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, it's gone back. It's somewhere out in the stock photo matrix. It's definitely somewhere out there. Like, I remember, I can give you, I'll provide a concrete example actually from, I found this example kind of interesting. And it wasn't like there was any sort of fairly benign example, but I'm talking about how to connect with your audience. You know, about 3 or 4 years ago, we ran a campaign with another agency on behalf of a client that was running an agricultural fair in Western Canada. And they were keen on bringing that information forward to the the local South Asian community, which in their city happened to be predominantly Punjabi speaking. And the ads were going to be in Punjabi. So yeah, tick marks, check marks for wanting to include the community, check marks for wanting to use the language. And you know, so they provided the English ad to us. And you know, the English ad's tagline was bringing the farm to the city, you know, which for an urban dweller here born and raised in Canada, or somebody who's actually lived in a city all their life, has a sort of novelty factor. You know, there's a certain romance in farming. Now I'm going to get a chance to see some of the farm in the city. Like, you know, this is really exciting. You know, the image also kind of aligned with that tagline, you know, and it would appeal to somebody who, like I said, was an urban dweller. But that tagline did not work with the target Punjabi speaking audience, who would predominantly come from agrarian rural areas of Punjab. And they had grown up around animals and farms and whatnot all their lives, and they've done the work, and they didn't harbor any romance about farming, because they've seen this very backbreaking work. There's no real romance in it. So, but you know, we brought these issues forward to the partners, and you know, they listened, but you know, eventually just decided to go forward with the English ad. There was a very small spend anyways. There wasn't a lot of budget typically to change the creative. And of course, there was this whole huge chain of command that we would have to go through in order to get approvals, and you know, landing eventually at the desk of somebody who had no idea what anything was about. So this whole sort of changing or updating the creative for this one particular niche community was squashed. But had we taken your advice and actually, you know, used some of the cultural nuances of this community to actually communicate with them, the message would have been far better, to talk about how, you know, we're bringing a bit of Canadian farming to the city. And that would have resonated more with this audience, because their novelty factor isn't so much about farming, it's about Canada. They're not excited about going and seeing animals and whatnot again, but they're excited about learning about Canada and Canada's farming history, or Canadian history in general, and partly for their own knowledge, but also then to pass on, you know, to their children. And that would have been a far more resonant message, again, in line with what you're talking about earlier.
Yeah, I can share one example as well of creative, why creative matters. You know, we work with one of the banks in Canada, and they, you know, had decided, okay, we're gonna start focusing more on multicultural audiences, and specifically newcomers, which is not a surprise, I'm sure, to you and I, Jagdish. I mean, 400,000 plus new customers coming into Canada every year. Every brand should be paying attention to this cohort, in my opinion. But we had to convince, you know, the client and build a case that no, we didn't want to go the route of stock photos. You know, we had to make the business case to invest in producing, you know, made in Canada commercials, photography, video clips that could better resonate, one, with the insights that we were presenting, but more importantly, show, you know, the diversity within Canada. And so we did shoots in Vancouver, we did shoots in Toronto. It was a very big expense for the brand, but you know what? Four campaigns now in, and they're seeing a return. And for me, that's proof that we led with creative, we led with relevant creative, and it didn't take much to make it relevant from what they were doing with stock, you know, and it's just a little bit of a step in the right direction. And they were able to show success and turn that success into more. So I would love to just say to any brand out there looking to get into multicultural, and, you know, start with the creative. You know, don't forget about the media channels that are so important. But if your creative is not relevant and is tone deaf to the community, like your example of, you know, farming within the Punjabi community, you risk wasting, you know, that spend. And so I would love to see more focus on creative storytelling and great brand campaigns, building awareness to win the hearts of, you know, diverse communities in Canada, not just, you know, leads and clicks purely bottom of the funnel. And that's I think the challenge for a lot of brands now, Jagdish, but that's the desire. And if anybody listening, you know, feels the same way, then they should hit you and I up on social media, and we can continue talking more about how we can do this together, because I feel like multicultural in Canada is a small group. We all know each other. We all know the space, and we all know that we're all dedicated to, you know, doing this right and helping brands do that right. Is there anything you'd like to add in terms of what you would like to see from brands going forward in terms of their own next steps for diversity and inclusion?
I think there's a lot of people who are probably out there, and if they do hear this podcast, if I'm talking to you, if you are on the fence and you're wondering and you're kind of vacillating back and forth about should I or should I not, should I take the plunge, should I try a in language campaign, should I try to reach out to these newer immigrants who are coming to this country, I would say absolutely give it a shot. Come have a conversation. Jocelyn is in Toronto. I'm in Vancouver. We are definitely, you know, ready to have a conversation to help guide you into what will be a, what will more than likely be a very promising return to your efforts. You know, it doesn't require you to like take a deep plunge off the high diving board, but you know, maybe we can sort of go into the kiddie pool together, and then we'll wait from there.
You got it. And then what I would add to that, Jagdish, is, you know, don't go this alone. Okay. Don't do what I've seen others do, which is, I know so-and-so in this department who is, you know, from this background, so we can just leverage that one person's insight for the campaign. Don't do this alone, you know, leverage the expertise that sits within the multicultural marketing industry of Canada. You know, and there is an industry, there's associations, there's, you know, boards, there's leaders and thought leaders who can add value. You know, like Jagdish said, you're in Vancouver, I'm in Toronto, there's expertise there. Don't go this alone, because that will be more costly, I find. And you'll, you know, you may feel like you're saving, you know, dollars up front, but would you do that for any other segment? You know, would you cut corners for any other community, whether it was, I don't know, millennials or Gen Zs or seniors marketing, or like for any other niche market, not niche, but any other specialty market, you wouldn't go it alone. So don't do that for multicultural either. Call in some help. And there's lots of us around the country to help with that. So that would be my appeal to anybody listening today, Jagdish. Just call. Or just a call away. Yeah. So was there anything else you wanted to add, Jagdish? I know there was a couple of other points that we wanted to talk about, but on the subject of diversity inclusion in Canada, any final parting thoughts?
At the moment, not really. I think we've kind of probably gone a little bit of overtime here, I think. But but yeah, it was great to connect with you, obviously. And it's great to hear that I'm not alone. And I hope you feel the same way, that you're not alone. And that
not alone.
Your lived experiences of running an agency. I think we're having some, there's a universal set of experiences that all of us agency owners and people working in the multicultural space seem to be having. And yeah, so it's a little bit of it's good to know that, you know, I'm not alone in my own struggles.
And totally, man. And this says for you too. Call me anytime, and vice versa, because I feel like we could probably learn. I could definitely learn more from you, Jagdish. It was such a pleasure to get to know you and speak with you today. I hope it won't be the last time, seriously, because like I said, it's a small industry, you know, and I hope it's going to continue to grow, and it's going to need, you know, strong voices and leaders and bravery to help our clients get over this threshold and help them, you know, invest that 20% in multicultural, you know, so you have an ally here for sure.
And as you, thanks. It's good to connect with you.
To learn more about IIB Canada, please visit our website at iibcanada.com.